Welcome to the Dirt on Data podcast, where we explore how to unlock the data needed to transform agriculture for smallholder farmers around the world. Our co-hosts, Richard Charlatan and Drew Whedon, talk to the people, businesses, researchers, and visionaries leading the ag data revolution. Along with our partners and collaborators, we explore the creative new ideas and innovations that improve food security, build sustainable and inclusive food systems, and catalyze a vibrant agricultural data ecosystem.
Welcome to the Dirt on Data. I'm Richard Charlatan. We're so happy to be hosting this new podcast each month where we explore innovations shaping the future of crop analytics, bringing you the dirt on agricultural data. Today, we're welcoming Dr. Molly Brown, the Chief Science Officer with SixGrain. SixGrain is a digital agriculture technology company focused on transforming farmer-provided data into information that can be used to increase success and uptake of crop protection, credit, and high-yielding seeds. SixGrain works with us at the Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale initiative to improve farmer-collected data and record-keeping and create tools for private sector partners to share data collaboratively. Dr. Brown is an expert in crop analytics, who also works as a research professor in the Department of Geographical Sciences at the University of Maryland. Dr. Brown has 2 decades of experience using satellite remote sensing data and models to better understand the drivers of food security. She's worked on how conflict, climate, and agricultural development impacts on communities in Africa and Asia. On a personal note, I've worked with Dr. Brown for the last 20 years to try and address food security and agricultural problems. She's a tremendous innovator, and I'm really excited to talk to her today. Welcome, Molly. Molly, do you want to introduce yourself?
Well, you've done a great job, Richard. Thank you very much. I would say that I am only recently to the technical, high-resolution, mobile, you know, sort of modern analytics scene. I've basically studied agriculture in smallholder settings for 15 years, and I realized that all my research papers did not change anything whatsoever on the ground, and I need to get real, which is why I'm working with ECAS and with SixGrain so that I can have real actions in the real world and make a difference in that way.
Thanks, Molly. Molly, I think what's so exciting about the work that you're doing now is that, you know, when we first started working together, trying to understand what was happening into food security and agricultural systems in Africa and Latin America and Afghanistan, we had some amazing tools with satellite remote sensing, but they really didn't give us the kind of answers that we needed to really understand what was happening at the farm level and at the local level. And what's so exciting now is the advances that we've seen in machine learning and artificial intelligence in computer processing power that lets us take remote sensing data and data from fields and answer questions that we've never been able to answer before. And that's what's so exciting about SixGrain, is that you're helping farmers and agribusinesses and others to answer these questions that we've only dreamed of answering in the past. So could you tell us a little bit more about SixGrain and the work you're doing and how you're using digital agriculture and data to improve food security and agriculture?
So SixGrain is a startup, and I have a partner whose name is Vladimir Eskin, who's the CEO, and he has a doctorate in economics, and I'm the geographer, and we work together to bring solutions. And essentially what happens is that he has a huge team of data developers and back-end people and connections in Russia, and I have a lot of expertise and connections in the remote sensing community. And so what we do is we say, what would work in this situation, right? So we talk with people like companies. For example, we've worked with Syngenta for many years, almost since the day we started. Syngenta is a very interesting company in Africa because they are really way ahead in geospatial analytics. And so they're the ones who said, well, what we really need to know is what is the extent of maize growing across East and Southern Africa? How many hectares are there? And how does that change year in, year out? And I'm like, well, you know, that's a problem we can solve with satellite data, no problem. And then we moved from there to using high resolution data to look at fields, so digitizing fields and really getting at information which relates to an individual farmer. So instead of looking from the top down, we're looking from the bottom up. And what we're trying to do to solve the food security problem is to bring those two things together. We know all the different fields and we have digitized all these fields and we can understand who's cultivating what in which year from the top down, right? And then we know why they're doing it and whether or not they're making money and what their yields are from the bottom up. We can really get at that, the is there going to be enough food question, which is really at the heart. And how much is it going to cost? How affordable is it going to be? Which is at the heart of food security and at a particular place.
Thanks, Molly. Can you just talk a little bit more and explain why that data from the field is so important and how you use it? And then also, how can collecting that data really help smallholders themselves to improve their own farming and production and income?
Right. So the satellite data is becoming amazing. Now we have 10 meter data, which is free every 3 to 5 days, every place on the whole world. But it's still just information which looks at how green the crop, how green the plants are. All it does is say whether or not the crops are happy. Or even if they're, you can't hardly even tell if it's a crop or not. It can just be, are the plants happy? And to transform the growth and the greenness and then the senescence of a particular location into actual production, you need to know what kind of farmer is farming in a particular place. So if you have think about this, if you have a boundary of a field, and then you have another boundary next door. The first field can be, you know, a high input farmer. He buys hybrid seeds. He puts fertilizer on. He is in, you know, he has tractors. He has a very dense planting density. Next door, same weather, same soil, same temperature, low input seeds. Seeds that have very low productivity potential, no fertilizer, everything is done by hand, very low planting density. The first field guy is going to produce 10 times more than the second field guy. And it's very hard to distinguish between those two things from space unless you have information about those two cases and all the ones in between. To get that, you need to have field boundary data, so you know where one guy's field and the other guy's field start and stop. You need to know yield, and you need to know yield in good years and in bad years. So you need several years. You need to know crop type. You need to know what kind of varieties they're planting. And you also need to know the planting and harvest dates. So with those five pieces of information, you can transform your satellite data into actual production, productivity, and input needs, which is sort of the foundation of the food equation that you and I have been working on in the food security equation, right?
Yeah, thanks, Molly. And so, you know, once you get that data and combine it with remote sensing and start to generate insight, what are the kind of things that you can do now that you couldn't do before as a farmer or as a agribusiness or as a government?
Right. So if we had, suppose we have digitized 50 or 60% of all the fields in Zimbabwe, as an example, then what the Zimbabwe companies and the government could do is say, okay, so now what we need to do is target those growers who are not using fertilizer at all and get them to improve their methods so that they can increase their yields. So you don't need to bring any new land into cultivation. You need to get those people who have very low productivity, and we're talking a quarter ton per hectare, and move them up to 3 tons per hectare. Another huge thing that people don't usually think about to having better statistics and information about who is doing what on the ground is the logistics chain, the value chain, right? Suppose you increase the yield of half of the farmers in Zimbabwe, you would have 10 times more maize, and then you have to figure out who's going to buy it and what are the purchasing chain and how are you going to export that, or everyone going to purchase it. You have to change the, you know, all of that, the other side. So not only, so the processing and the packaging. So there's a lot of moving parts from the idea of statistics all the way through to everyone actually making money and getting better food security out at the other side.
Thanks, Molly. That's a great point. And of course, you know, we're all really focused on the global supply chain crisis. I wonder if you could give us some specific examples of how you've been able at Sixth Grain to take this data and these new analytical approaches and help your partners and your clients to implement real solutions to make supply chains more effective. And so I'm thinking, you know, of your work, for example, in Egypt to help get inputs to tomato growers, or helping to understand the different types of packaging that farmers might need for seeds. So small farmers can't buy big packets, they need smaller packets, whereas big farmers need bigger bags. So how are you using this kind of analytics to solve those real world problems?
So the tomato example is a really good one. One of the things we try to do is not solve all the problems simultaneously, right? So Egypt is filled with beautiful farmland that's been farmed for centuries, right? Gorgeous land. And they have very intelligent farmers who have cell phones, but they're not literate. They cannot really read and write Arabic. And so, but they are commercial tomato farmers, and they export their tomatoes to Europe. So they have a beautiful supply chain. And what they lack is information. So what they do is, in this system, is that what we do is we register the farmer's phone numbers with their retailer. The retailer is also their agronomist who helps them solve the problems that they have. So what we've done is we set up an agronomy platform, which is a web portal, which allows each retailer to register the phone numbers, and then they of each of their growers and all the people they work with. And then when there is a weather threat, which increases the probability of fungus. And so instead of trying to teach everyone how to use the phone and get them all to have an app, what we do is we educate the agronomist, and then the agronomist have a blaster that sends out emojis to all the farmers on their phones, their flip phones. And you get this Mr. Yuck, right, for when it's a problem, or a happy face when it's not a problem. And then if you get a Mr. Yuck, the farmer goes to the retailer and says, hey, you told me about this picture. What the heck is it? And the guy will say, it's going to be cool and foggy over the next 5 days. You better do something about your tomatoes, and please buy this fungicide, which is a prophylactic, which will pound down the action of the powdery mildew and the downy mildew so that they don't have yield loss. And what's the great thing about this is all we're doing with this is using a 40-year-old fungal model, which has been around for dog's age, right, with current weather data. Now, remember, this is Egypt. They don't have weather. What they have is like the wind blows in one direction or another, and they have temperature differences. So the weather data quality has really improved enormously, which allows those fungal models to be really useful all of a sudden here in 2021. It's been very effective, right? And we also don't make the farmer put our app on it. It's a What's Up blaster. Everyone uses What's Up. So it's very important not to try to solve all the problems all at once. You solve just the information they need and not everything else all at the same time.
Thanks, Molly. That's such a wonderful example. What you're talking about is exactly that, taking kind of, you know, data and models and putting it into real life applications with smallholders so that they produce more, they manage the risk they face more effectively and more stably and can really thrive despite what we're seeing in the climate. I want to, you know, maybe just take a step back. You know, it's really exciting to see what can happen at the farm level. But I want to come back to a point you made about if we had 60% of the farms in Zimbabwe mapped. And of course, like 60% of the farms is a lot of farms. And one of the things we struggle with, and I know you struggle with, is the actual availability of the data that we need, especially for smallholder farmers in developing countries where those farmers are marginalized and don't have access to technology and therefore we don't have data. And so those places where this kind of technology could have the most benefit are the places where it's most difficult to get that data. And so I wanted to maybe ask you about what you've learned, particularly in Kenya, working to try and help farmers improve the collection of data themselves on their farm so it can be used in these applications, but also so that they can improve their own record keeping and start to kind of improve their practices in a data-driven way at the farm level. So I'm just, you know, curious if you could tell us a little bit about what you've done in Kenya and how that's worked.
Right. So working with a team, we have done this project where we have linked a very user-friendly application, which is free online, which allows the user to walk around their field to digitize it. So often when you're talking about agriculture data collection and digitization, it requires, you know, you go and you get graduate students in the capital city and you bring them down and then they have a formal interview process and they can do about 10 fields a day. And it's like this huge academic exercise. So what we wanted to do is see if we could just throw that whole thing out and say, listen, people in Kenya, 80% of them have smartphones, particularly the ones who are doing commercial ag. So let's get them to do the digitization. So we put together a Facebook advertising campaign, which targeted agronomists and other farmers who are on Facebook groups, who are getting trading information on Facebook, social media, just like the rest of us, right? And they are, we put this ad that says, how big is your field? Is your farm really an acre? Because most of the people doing commercial ag or doing any kind of agriculture with cash crops rent or lease their fields, and they really don't know how big their fields are because there's no cadastral. They mostly don't own their own land, or the village owns it, and so they're assigned an area and they just cultivate this region on the ground. And because of that, what we can do is we caught people's attention with this how big is your field ad. They downloaded the app, and then they were able to walk around their field after a little bit of training. Then we found that once we got them to digitize their fields, they were looking at this application. They put in their crop type. They were able to understand how much seeds and other inputs they need. If they know they have half a hectare, someone's trying to sell them enough seed for 3 hectares, or they thought they had a hectare and they really only have half a hectare, makes a huge difference on the inputs they're using to get that math right. It's critical to have the right acreage. And then at the end of the season, when they say they grew, you know, 65 kilos of tomatoes, they have no idea how much area it's in. We have a totally wrong yield statistics, right? And so you can think of how this lack of knowledge of how big your field is at the individual farmer level propagates up the entire chain all the way up to the country level. They think, oh, it's no problem. We have, you know, around what, 1 million hectares in cultivation. They really have no idea. It could be 3, it could be 500,000. They do not know because we have never really digitized fields. There's no formal cadastral program going on in a lot of these places. And so getting the size, the area of the field right is the first step of getting yield right. And if you can get yield right, then you can understand who you need to engage with to improve their yields and to improve their understanding of agronomic challenges and all the rest of it. It was a very successful experiment. And at the end, we digitized 450 or so fields of a wide variety of crops. It requires a lot of engagement with people on the ground, but I think it's really the first step along the road of getting better agriculture statistics in a lot of these countries.
Thanks, Molly. And, you know, I know you spent a lot of time talking to the farmers who downloaded your yes. app, and I'm curious, like, what did they ask you for? Like, what did they want you to build them?
The major thing they wanted was a linear step-by-step process. You download the app, you put your phone number in, you register, and the very first thing it says, a big plus, add your field. And then it shows you a video of what you need to do while your phone is finding the satellite. And then it shows you exactly how to walk around the field, and it immediately delivers the result. So this linear step-by-step process, there are no options, there aren't 57 buttons. We want simple and easy. The other big thing we found was that we could not, you know, people who have not grown up with Google Earth in their daily lives cannot just go around digitizing their fields using a map interface. So that walking around the field was absolutely essential to getting value out of the app at all, because satellite imagery of places, rural areas, is usually at least 6 months, but often 3 years old. And so they could never see their fields anyway, right? So by walking around it, they get a nice accurate boundary, and then they would make a little emoji of icon of the field, and then they can put in their information and like what crop and what they need to do, calendar functions, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, thanks, Mara. I think that whole idea of simplicity and tailoring the tools to farmers, I think we all kind of understand that that's important, but in practice that's so difficult. And I talk to farmers sometimes who have, you know, 10 different apps from different providers and different companies, all to manage the same plot of land. And I think as we go through trying to figure out, you know, how to help farmers leverage data, we really think about, you know, usability for the farmer versus what we think of as maybe more data geeks who like options and buttons. So exactly. Yeah, I want to maybe switch gears a second, Molly. You know, we've talked a lot about what's happening in farmers' fields and your work with farmers and all of the exciting potential of that. But one of the things that, you know, we're really focused on is how to bring more organizations like SipGrain together and agribusinesses together and research organizations and governments together to collect and share the kind of data we've been talking about, so we can do more and benefit people and make the analytics and insight that we get from advanced crop analytics accessible to all people, rather than a moment where it's very expensive. It's expensive to go out and collect data. It's expensive to be able to use that data, and so that's a major obstacle. And so, you know, we've been working with you at SipGrain and a number of other private sector partners to come together to try and work on ways to standardize the collection and then sharing of this data, which is ordinarily seen as quite commercially important, especially for large agribusinesses. So can you just tell me, you know, a little bit about how that work is going? What have you learned working with multiple large agriculture companies about bringing this data together and sharing it so we can do more for less?
Right. So the concept is that we take just the key, the big four, as I got, like, right? So it's field boundary, crop type, year in cultivation, and production, right? And notice I do not say yield here. I want production of that crop, right? So that's the big four, and that's all I want. And this, I must say that I was really concerned when I first was talking about doing this, that all of these companies would be like, oh, we can't share that. Then, oh no, first conversation I had, they're like, oh, we don't care. You can have that. I don't need it. And this is very typical of science and society interface, right? Science, we need to know where the field is. We need to know how big is it. We need exact coordinates. Do not tell me it's in, you know, Chiez, Senegal. I mean, that's this enormous place. No, I want to know precisely what part of the field you're talking about here, right? So that is the science requirements. On the corporate side, what they want is, what's the name of the guy? How much can I sell him? And what are his problems that I can solve, right? That has nothing to do with my science requirements. So there's this big disconnect. And by communicating what the science requirements are and then how I can do magic with that data, I can answer all the questions the corporate guys have. Literally, I can say not only what the problem is, when the problem is, and where the problem is. The only thing I won't know is the name of the guy. But up until now, the science really has been so constrained by the lack of the specifics, right? So to solve this problem, we are starting a lot of conversations, and it's really going to be, it's not a quick fix, but to begin, we are setting up this data sharing platform, which has all the data Sixth Grain has gathered and all the data our partners have gathered. We have about 15,000 fields or so-ish already online, ready to upload. And across all of Africa, so we have Northern Africa and a little bit in Nigeria and East and Southern Africa primarily. And these will be outlines and all the rest of the data, and you'll be able to download all that data yourself. But the most important thing is to change the conversation with the people who are investing in data now, who are sending people out to do surveys, but they never think of how specific you really need to be, right? So unfortunately, there's a big mismatch between the need of the science and the need of the sort of corporate intelligence thing. Which I actually, Richard, think is the same with food security, right?
Yeah. That's what's interesting is, you know, talking both with, you know, our partners in the commercial agriculture sector and our clients and partners doing kind of global food security early warning. They both have similar data input requirements and similar analytical requirements. Different questions they're trying to answer at different times, but many of the techniques and the data are really similar. And I think what's really exciting and why we were excited to have you talk to us is that there's lots of pieces of this puzzle to really get to the place where we can help millions of smallholders benefit from data-driven agriculture. We've got to be able to collect the data in the fields. We need tools to collect the right data with the right specificity to be able to use in the models that you're talking about. We need what I guess we like to call the pipes and plumbing. You know, we need to be able to more easily get that data from the point of collection in the field into hubs and a data ecosystem where it can be used, so it doesn't stay on the hard drive of a person in Mali or Vietnam or Brazil or
exactly.
And then we need to be able to, you know, feed that into the analytical processes to produce the insights and answer the questions that people have. And sometimes that part is, if we've got the other bit right, is easier now than it used to be. And so that I think is a lot of what we're trying to achieve with the Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale initiative. And we've been so happy to work with you and Sixth Grain. Molly, I want to ask you one last question before we wrap up. In all this work, what's the coolest thing you're working on?
The coolest thing. I'm really excited about the power of mobile for me. Mobile just moves so fast. A good example is we're working in Ghana with this company or organization called the African Fertilizer and Agribusiness Partnership, AFAP, A-F-A-P. And essentially what they do is they have their agronomists, and then they have agents, and then they have farmers. So what we can do is have the farmers have their fields and need the information. The agents have field-focused light and can digitize the farmers. And then the organization has field-focused proper and can look at all the agronomy and the remote sensing and figure out all the problems and run disease models on the fields that the agronomists have digitized. So that's three layers. You have the farmer with the fields. You have the agents who have digitized those fields. You have the central hub who make sure that the products are available. And then you have the country level who can facilitate the value chain to make sure that they anticipate the production that's going to happen. I really think that these nested systems are going to really be able to help solve a lot of these problems that we are facing right now with not knowing how much food is going to be produced and not knowing all of the different connections. But this is like so cool because I can see so many different ways that we can use these embedded systems and we can deliver information. So it's not just us taking information out. It's us pushing information back and giving as much value back to the farmer, to the agent, and to each of those institutions as we get from them. So I guess that's the thing, is having that two-way street. No one is going to download Field Focus Light unless they really get a big bang out of it, if it's fun and it does exactly what they want it to do. And I think that's something that we are getting super close to delivering on.
That's a great way to wrap up, because I think, you know, a lot of what we see out there that's really innovative and cool is really a research project or a pilot project.
That's right.
Where we go out, we collect some data with farmers, and we do some amazing machine learning or artificial intelligence analysis to get an answer that is, you know, really, really incredible. So we see the potential, but that doesn't represent like a systemic change in
agriculture. That's right.
And that's what we need. Whereas, you know, working with partners like the African Fertilizer and Agribusiness Partnership to integrate into the whole kind of value chain and supply chain, the collection of the data we need to do the analytics that provide the benefit to the farmer, the benefit to the input suppliers, benefit to the aggregators and buyers. And the more we connect that data ecosystem, the more value benefit we can generate. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with the Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale project. So maybe this is a great place to wrap up and say a big thank you, Molly. Thanks to all the listeners out there on our podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this, and we'll be back for our next episode. We look forward to seeing you next time and learning more about the dirt on data. Thank you.
The Dirt on Data is produced by the staff of Tetra Tech's Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale initiative and supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Our special thanks to our hosts, Richard and Drew, and to our guest this week, Dr. Molly Brown with Sixth Grain.
Sixth Grain's data sharing platform, referenced earlier in this podcast, can be accessed at https://dsp.sixgrain.com.
You can follow the ECAS project on Twitter to receive the latest and greatest news at ECAS_agdata, or visit our website at cropanalytics.net.